When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello there, Duke fans, and welcome to episode number 622 of the Duke Basketball Roundup. It is Saturday, April 13th, 2024. I am here. I'm Donald Wine. I'm down here as your host at Reunion Weekend in Durham. It has been a fun weekend thus far. I bring in my co-host, who's always with me, Jason Evans. Jason, hello. I just want to let you know, Jason, that I have shut down both James Joyce and Shooters so far. And the weekend is not yet done. You should be here for this.
Nice, very nice. Yeah. I don't know that I still have. I don't know if I still have it in me to shut places down.
I didn't think I had it in me either. I'm sure my body is going to have a discussion with me tomorrow morning. after tonight, my class party is in a couple hours. So I'm gonna get ready for that after we deal with this. But Jason, real quickly, before we get into the news of the day, I just want to let you know, first of all, this is the best weekend for plugging this show, because everybody is a captive audience. Everybody down here is people who love Duke. And there's been a lot of people who have said hi to you, Jason. I know I ran into a few of your classmates from the class of 89 who are down here for the reunion, and a few people from my class have said that they listened to the show. So everybody out there who is at Reunion Weekend, who I've run into, hello to all of you. Thank you for listening to the show. And Jason, also, you know, as we talk about some of these players, they've been out and about all weekend. I ran into Sean Stewart and Jared McCain and Caleb Foster yesterday outside of Cameron. I was about to say hi to all three of them very quickly, and then they got inundated and mobbed by a bunch of people. So I quickly talked to Jared McCain and let him know to wish him well as he moves on. And I know we're going to talk about that in just a second, but it's been a fun weekend, Jason. I know you weren't able to make it, but you were sorely missed up here. The class of 89 is still rocking it in for you here. So I just want to make sure you knew that. Now, let's get into the news of the day. Yes. And we're at least the news of the past couple of days. We wait a little bit. I know the last episode was full of promise as we welcomed back Tyrese Proctor, but now we have to say goodbye to three players in this show. And we will start with Jared McCain. As I mentioned, Jared McCain declares for the NBA draft, and in a great, great post out. Jason, I don't know if you got a chance to read his post on social media.
I did,
but very heartfelt. And when we talk about Jared McCain, I'm really going to miss this guy, because he has been just a joy to watch play, the way he plays, the work ethic that he puts in. And we'll talk a little bit about what he brings to the table. But just starting with that, Jason, Jared McCain leaving for the draft, but man, this is one that I wanted to keep back selfishly, but know that it is his time to go, and he's going to be a great, great pro.
Yeah. I mean, look, he's a dude who over the course of the season, like basically from about January on, start of ACC play on, his draft stock kept on getting higher and higher. Like there were moments earlier in the year when I was like, I think Jared really might come back. And like when I was up at Duke in February and I chatted with his mom and dad some, and I was like, oh, you know, there are arguments here that he, you know, if he's like projected the mid-20s, it makes a lot of sense sometimes to come back, you know. I'm trying to convince them. It didn't make sense anymore. After the NCAA tournament, after he, I want to say he put up a 30 burger in two of Duke's final three games in the NCAA tournament. Mm-hmm. You're not coming back after something like that. Your draft stock doesn't get higher. There are plenty of projections now. I'm not saying I know for sure where Jared's going to go, but there are plenty of projections that have him in the lottery or soon after the lottery. And a situation like that, you cannot turn down that kind of money. And by the way, I think I have not discussed this with the McCain family, but I think that they probably talked, I'm certain that they talked to folks at Duke, to John Shire, to people at Duke who have expertise and connections in the NBA, to Coach K. They told me that even though John Shire is the head coach, talking to Coach K is still an incredibly valuable thing about being at Duke. And my bet is that everyone said, would we like to have you back? Hell yeah. Do we think you should come back? Hell no. Go get that money, son. And that's what, that is what Jared McCain is doing. I don't blame him one bit. I would do the same thing, to be honest. And I think it was such a joy for us to get to watch him play, both the quality of his play and his attitude and his joy on the court. Those are the biggest things I'm going to take away. I mean, yeah, dude had games where he was just beyond lethal and you would just be giddy watching them. But the overall thing I'm going to take away from him was, no matter whether the ball was going through the bucket or not, Jared McCain was having fun being a Duke Blue Devil, being out there on the floor, being with his teammates, working on the game, getting better at basketball. That's his enduring legacy more than anything else.
A couple of things, Jason, and this is a little bit of a transition that I didn't think we would have, but we go back to his post where he kind of said thank you to Duke Nation and to everybody who believed in him and that he was ready to go to the draft. He mentioned in there that he said, I know my TikToks and my fingernail or my finger painting or fingernail painting being painted is something that a lot of people didn't really do, but I was authentically me. Jared, I mean this with all love in the world. Stop that. Like, we enjoyed the TikToks. We enjoy the fact that you paint your nails. We enjoy the fact that you are, do not apologize for that. You are unapologetically you, and it is a fun, fun thing to see as you blossom from, you know, you singing, I'm a freshman 2 days into college, to now here where you were not playing like a freshman the last month of the year. You were playing like an upperclassman. You did everything your way, and I always go back to when we interviewed his parents, and they talked about his work ethic and how he had a 25-point game and he was in the gym afterwards with his parents and his brother and his grandparents, and they're shagging balls for him so he could shoot 200 threes because he felt he didn't have a great shooting game. We talk about Chris Querwell, who in public has said that he is one of the hardest working athletes he's ever seen. That work ethic is going to get you far. The fact that you were doing that while also being you in your TikToks and in painting your nails different colors, it's a joy to see that, and it's a shame that you had felt that you had to apologize for it. You do not. That is absolutely unquestionably who you are, and that is why you are so beloved amongst this fan base.
You know, I'm glad you mentioned one thing, and we talked about his work ethic a lot. I think it'd be so easy to look at the joy that he plays with and sort of think, oh, this guy naturally, you don't realize the amount of effort, the amount of work, the number of shots that goes into having that joy on the court. This is a kid who has earned with sweat, with tons of hours, with repetition again and again and again. He has earned the fact that he is going to be a high draft pick in the NBA. He has earned the fact that he has all those followers and stuff like that on his social media platforms. It's so easy to go, oh, it's come to him easily. It has not. It has not. It has taken tremendous effort. And that is the thing that I admire the most about I admire the joy. admire the joy and the effort.
14.3 points per game, 5 rebounds a game, 1.9 assists per game, 1.1 steals per game. He shot over 41% from three on the season. He shot almost 89% from the free throw line. And Jason, he had probably the best trash talk of any Duke player when he told the FSU fans, so this guy with nails painted is cooking all y'all. Do that on the next level. But have, again, like you said, having fun while doing it. It's absolutely a joy. And the reason why we wanted him back were purely selfish, because we know that him on next year's team would have been absolutely incredible for us and for him. But for him, he gets to go pro. And I think, man, it's going to be great. And Jason, I know we'll do the NBA stuff a little bit further down the road.
Yeah.
But man, there's going to be some There's going to be some teams who could benefit from having a lethal shooter like him on their squad who yeah, I mean, just absolutely incredible. We're really going to miss him in the Duke uniform, but wish him well on the next level. Jason, let's move to another guy who probably less of a surprise, probably the least surprising announcement that we've had thus far, and that's Kyle Filipowski. He also declares for the NBA draft, 16.4 points per game, 8.3 rebounds per game, 2.8 assists per game, 1.5 blocks per game, 1.1 steals per game, and shooting over 50% from the floor. Jason, when Flip last year decided he was going to come back, it was almost a shock to us that he decided he wanted to return. He obviously got the offseason hip surgery, so two-hip flip. We saw a lot of that this year. And we mentioned, despite the fact that we thought that he was going to be this otherworldly player, he had some moments where he wasn't. But at the same time, when we look at his stats, he has stats on par with some of the best players in recent memory in a Duke uniform. We remember earlier in the year, we compared his stats to Paolo Banchero's stats and said, hey, Paolo Banchero was this otherworldly talent that we thought. And Kyle Filipowski had stats in many levels that were slightly better than what Paolo Banchero was producing. So with Flip, he's probably a first-round pick, maybe a lottery pick. I think I know the range I know you've seen has kind of been varying over the last couple of weeks. But make no mistake about it, he's, you know, was absolutely ready to go. He played his butt off in a Duke uniform. And despite some of the ups and downs that I know he had over the season, we're really going to miss him as well. Number 30 in the middle.
Yeah. So I think I could be wrong. I think that he led the team in points per game, rebounds per game, steals per game, blocks per game. That's not bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's pretty decent season. And he was third in assists. Third best assist per game guy on the Blue Devils. Those are really impressive statistics. We got 2 years out of Kyle Filipowski, and frankly, I think a lot of players in his position a year ago would have only given us 1 year. He would have very likely been a first-round draft pick a year ago, and he chose to come back, and he improved his stock by coming back. Coming back was probably was a wise financial decision for Kyle Filipowski. We obviously don't know exactly where he would have been taken a year ago. We don't yet know where he'll be taken this year, but it looks like his stock improved. Look, this is a guy who really didn't complain very much, even though ACC refs did not treat him well at all.
Mm-hmm.
I can't recall a Duke player who got whacked in the head, the face, the throat as much as Kyle Filipowski did. I can't recall a Duke player who I thought he was fouled on that play more often than I did with Kyle Filipowski. The variety of his game, his ability, you know, to take people from the outside and hit 35% of his three-pointers this year. And he had a number of games where he was on from outside and like, forget about it. If Flip was hitting his threes, then it was ball game, you know, Duke was going to win, but also able to go down in there in the post, bang with the opposing big men and everyone they were throwing at him and finish really nicely in there in close. Flip had an outstanding season. Yeah, look, honestly, maybe he wasn't quite the leader that we would have liked him to be. I remember saying at the beginning of the season when they announced the captains that I was a little surprised when Tyrese Proctor was named a captain and Kyle Filipowski was not. You know, you figured that one of the sophomores, one of the returning guys, would probably get a captainship alongside Ryan Young and Jeremy Roach. And I kind of hoped it would be Flip, because you knew Flip was going to be the focal point of the team on the inside and probably likely the leading scorer and the leading rebounder, all that other stuff. And it's really great when someone like that is also a very vocal leader for the team. I think that sort of just wasn't in Flip's nature, and that's fine. Not everyone is born a leader. But I think in terms of play on the court, this is a guy who gave us everything he could and led Duke to an ACC tournament title as a freshman, led Duke to the Final Eight as a sophomore, and he had a heck of a career. There are we haven't had a lot of guys who came back and had 2 years as good as Kyle Filipowski did combined those 2 years. So, yes, beloved Dukey.
And considering the fact that when he arrived on Duke's campus, we were not pegging him as to be one of these guys that would be a, you know, preseason All-American and all ACC everything, ACC tournament champion. He was a guy that were like, oh, we don't really know what Flip's going to do. Maybe he starts on the bench. Maybe he doesn't. He ends up, you know, starting almost every single game that he could, that he was available in the lineup. And he does super well and became a guy that, you know, remember a few games into his freshman year, we're like, I was like, Jason, maybe we have something here with this Kyle Filipowski guy. And he had been kind of, you know, getting to that point where he was, you know, unremovable from the lineup. And now he is going and probably going to be a first round pick and maybe even a lottery pick alongside Jeremy Cain. Jeremy Cain, also a guy who I believe started every game this year. Jason, you were the only one that correctly predicted that in the stats game. But those two guys were losing two guys that were very, very much two of the best players on the team. And at times, both of them took over games. And I think when you look at these two, that's going to be a lot of fire. No matter what's coming in, right? You never want to lose firepower like that or offensive firepower like that, because it's hard to replace. And despite the fact that it seems like we're replacing them with this, you know, legion of guys that are coming in that are very, very heralded players, we're going to be missing a lot in these guys. When we compare these stats, we're talking about 30 points per game and 13 rebounds a game, amongst other things. And a guy who, again, led almost every statistical category on the offensive side for Duke. This is a big loss, but we, you know, we get to cherish the time that we shared with Kyle. And as you mentioned, we got next year out of him that we probably maybe, you know, didn't think we were going to have. Man, it was great to have Kyle Filipowski for 2 years. Anything else, Jason, before we take a break?
Look, these are two guys. These were probably the two guys that were as important to Duke's success as anyone this past year. If either one of them was really on, then the Blue Devils pretty much won the game, quite often going away. And yeah, they both are going to be multimillionaires just a few months from now. We cannot blame them for making the decision they did. I think all of us are wishing them nothing but the best. Yeah, it's special time for them and for their families. And we're just wishing them well.
Two guys that I absolutely are going to be rooting for at the next level, even if they play on the Bulls. I won't root for them to win every game, but at least the Bulls, I'd like to see one of them dominate wherever they end up. Hey, let's take a quick break. On the other side, we have to talk about another guy who is entering the transfer portal, and we say goodbye to a member of the Duke family. More after this. All right, everybody, we are back, and we turn our attention to another player who is actually going to be departing the Duke Blue Devils, and his name is Jalen Blakes. Jason, on the last episode, had mentioned that during the banquet, the annual basketball banquet that was this Thursday, Jalen Blakes announced that he was graduating as a graduate for Duke University, and now he has decided to enter the transfer portal, where he will go somewhere else as a grad transfer. Jalen Blakes is a junior, so we commended him for being a guy who graduated from Duke in 3 years, but now he will move on and play somewhere else for his final year of eligibility. Jason, it feels like Jalen Blakes has grown up before us over the last 3 years. He obviously provided a lot of sparks, both, you know, last year on the offensive end and this past season on the defensive end, being that hornet's nest that we liked to dub him whenever he was on the floor. He had a lot of, you know, moments. Of course, there's times where we're like, hey, Jalen Blakes is not one with the universe of the basketball court right now. But there was times where he provided sparks that really helped this team win some big ball games. So from me to Jalen Blakes, first of all, again, I will say this again. Congratulations on graduating this May from Duke University in 3 years, which, again, doesn't happen often with people who don't play college basketball. But you somehow found a way to do that while playing on one of the best programs on this planet. And finally, thank you for what you gave to Duke University on the basketball court and being the star example of what it means to be a student athlete on and off the court. You really provided us with some great moments. We wish you well. When we talk about his career, we kind of think, I always think back to Jordan Goldwire. Jordan Goldwire is a little bit more used by Duke when he was here.
Yeah.
But that similar trajectory where he's going to be a beacon for another team, I think, somewhere down the line when he decides where he wants to go to play out his final year of eligibility. So, Jason, your comments on Jalen Blake's, I know he was a special player to us on this podcast.
Yeah, I can't believe how emotional I feel about losing a guy who averaged 1.8 points per game this past season. A guy who, frankly, you know, anytime he was shooting the ball, you were like, wait, are we sure we want you, you know, you want you to do that? A guy who played less than 10 minutes per game this past year. And yet it is because when Jalen Blake's stepped onto the floor, you knew you were getting 100%. By the way, I hate it when people go 110%, which is just, that's sort of silly. No such thing exists. But I'm going to tell you, factually, not everyone gives 100% every second they're on the floor. Honestly, you kind of can't. If you did that, you'd run out of energy very quickly. Jalen Blake's, because he knew he wasn't going to be playing huge minutes, that cat was giving you 100% every second he was on the floor. He was going to cause havoc for the other team. He was going to provide effort. If there was a loose ball, his butt was going to be all over it. And as a fan, how can you not admire that? I remember, Donald, when we interviewed his coach at Blair Academy.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
first of all, that feels like it was 10 years ago, but it wasn't. It was just years ago.
Yeah, it was only like 3.5 years ago or so, right? We interviewed him, and he said to us that he knew that Jalen Blake's was not a guy who was highly recruited. You know, in terms of, you know, compared to the guys, other guys on Duke, Jalen Blake's was barely a top 100 recruit. Duke usually, you know, we were sometimes skeptical of guys who are top 50 recruits coming to Duke. Usually, if you're not a top 30, it's like, what are you doing here? And yet he told us, this is a kid who is a leader. This is a kid who fights every second he's on the floor, and he will have an impact at Duke. And he was right. There's no question that Jalen Blake's had an impact at Duke. Now, look, there were games last season where Duke was, you know, struggling a little bit more to find guys in the backcourt. And remember, Jalen Blake's was forced into a starting role for a couple games last year.
Mm-hmm.
He saved our bacon. Like, that's just the honest to God truth. Having Jalen Blake's saved victories for Duke. And there were games this year where we needed a spark. We needed someone to come in and tell everybody, you're wearing D-U-K-E across your chest, and that means that you need to go hard the whole time you're out there on the floor. And Jalen Blake's did that. He absolutely led by example and with his words. You would see Jalen Blake's one of the more vocal guys off the bench. I love everything he brought to the table. It is worth noting that when Duke gave out their student athlete award to the team this year, Jalen Blake's was one of the guys who won it. I have people who I know who are on campus with Jalen Blake's, you know, have kids who are on campus with Jalen Blake's who say, never missed a class. Like, mm-hmm. Dude was always there at speaking up in class all the time and really, you know, with smart comments. This is the kind of basketball player that we should be eternally proud to have connected to the Duke program. He is everything you would imagine you would want a basketball player to be in terms of effort, in terms of desire, in terms of supporting his teammates, and in terms of being a great citizen and a great member of the community off the court. I'm sad to see him go, but I'm also super excited because I'm really interested in seeing what happens when he goes someplace where he can really get some time. I mean, he's had future NBA players ahead of him the entire time he's been at Duke. It's hard to get playing time when that happens. And man, I don't know where it's going to be, you know, America East Conference, Conference USA, something like that. I think probably he could go to a Power Five school, but I really would love to see him at a little bit smaller school where they're like, yeah, 30 minutes a game, baby, take that ball and cause havoc. Cause I'm telling you right now, he's winning Conference Defensive Player of the Year. whatever conference he goes to, if he gets that, you know, 25, 30 minutes a game, he's winning Defensive Player of the Year. And I think that the steals numbers you're going to see are just going to be off the charts. He is a special, special effort on the floor. And God, I selfishly want him back. Even though, you know, it makes the most sense. Like all these decisions, all three of these decisions we're discussing today, it makes perfect sense what they've decided to do. I can't argue with a second of it, but I can still be really bummed.
The only thing that I do not want Jalen Blakes to do, it's the only thing I don't want him to do, is to go to a school that we end up playing next year, because I do not want to root against him. I always want to root for him because he's earned that. And I really, really hope he latches on somewhere where he can get all the playing time he desires. And I think wherever he goes, he is obviously going to walk in and be an immediate boost. We think about the Theo Johns and the Ryan Youngs that come to our team and how they become an immediate and make an immediate impact in so many different areas. Jalen Blakes has a chance to be another school's Ryan Young. And for that, I am super excited for him in that opportunity. So again, congratulations on graduating. Thank you. And we wish you well wherever you may end up. And we look forward to finding out where that is, where his next chapter will be. Jason, before we get to the last thing that we have on our rundown, I did want to note that for everyone out there who's thinking, hey, you know, we're waiting on a couple other guys to make some decisions, stay tuned, because on Monday, as was released, the Brotherhood basically released a notification that said that they are going to be having an episode coming out on Monday morning that will feature next year's backcourt.
Episode of the Brotherhood podcast.
The Brotherhood podcast, yes. Yeah. And they said that the off-season episode, the first one, is here, featuring next year's backcourt. That is per the show notes. And the show notes read that next year's backcourt will be Tyrese Proctor and Caleb Foster. So, of course, that signifies to us that Caleb Foster will return to Duke for his sophomore season, which we will actually leave. We want to listen to the episode before we comment on that. So expect a full rundown or recap of that at a little bit later date, because we want to allow him to officially make that announcement. But again, per these show notes, it sounds like Caleb Foster is returning to Duke, and we will operate about that in full when we get to it. Hopefully that is true. And that means very, very exciting news for us.
And if you are wondering why Jason was a little pissed off that Tyrese Proctor's announcement got spoiled by someone else, if you're wondering why Jason and Donald for the past couple episodes have been saying, oh, we think there's good news coming around the corner. I don't know. Maybe we knew that there was a...
this might have been the good news.
Maybe we knew something about this episode of the Brotherhood podcast that was going to announce Duke's next year's backcourt. I'm not saying we have sources. I'm not saying we knew this, but maybe we do.
we had a feeling this was coming. I was down here on campus and
I had a dream. I had a dream.
He had a dream.
This. That's what it was.
Very clairvoyant, this man. Very clairvoyant, Jason Evans. So yes, on Monday we get that episode, and sometime early this week we will comment in full about Caleb Foster's decision. Again, we are assuming per these show notes that it means that we will see him in Duke Blue next season, and we will wait to react to how happy we are about that. But Jason, we do need to get to the final thing in our rundown, and it's a sad one. We are absolutely gutted when we heard this news. When Jason sent me this yesterday, I was kind of floored about it. But Kathy Drysdale, the mother of Derek Lively, passed away. Derek Lively announced this yesterday on his Instagram. I think they played the Pistons last night, and he was not in uniform because he's been banged up a little bit, but he wore a jersey on the bench with his mom's name on the back of Mavericks jersey. We heard about the story obviously last year when he was at Duke, and they had that Duke Blue Planet episode about the relationship between Derek Lively and his mother. He of course lost his father at an early age, and so when his mother got cancer, he was very, very, you know, out front about his role in trying to take care of her while also trying to play college basketball. And one of the reasons why he decided that he wanted to go pro is because he wanted to make sure that he could take care of her medical bills, and also give her a chance to see him live out his dream. Well, thankfully she was able to do that. And unfortunately she has passed away. I Jason, I know we both have, you know, lost people to cancer, friends, family, what have you, touches everybody. And I hate to say that she lost her battle with cancer. I would like to say that she graduated from her battle with cancer, but unfortunately it means that she's no longer present on this earth. And for Derek Lively, it's just such a heartbreaking news to share. We're really, really, I just really feel for him. And in his first year in the NBA, he now has to deal with this and has to figure out a way to live on without her. And that's just, I mean, I've lost my mom. You've lost your dad, I believe. And it's a hard thing to have to deal with at such a young age. And I really feel for him, and my prayers are with him and the rest of the Lively family.
Yeah. I read Derek Lively's Instagram post, and look, I never met Kathy Drysdale, of course,
mm-hmm.
but I started to tear up reading his posts. It's beautiful. I suggest all of you out there who haven't had a chance to read it yet. It's on the front page of the Duke Basketball Report. So you can go to the DBR and read it there, or you can read it on Instagram. He starts out by saying, "My heart breaks saying goodbye to the most important person in the world to me, my best friend, my superhero, my biggest cheerleader, and my mom, Kathy Drysdale." And it goes on from there. And I can't keep reading it because I got choked up. They clearly had an incredibly close relationship. And Donald, I think you hit on the most important thing, which is that it was important to Derek for his mom to get to see him reach the NBA and reach that ultimate dream. And that's one of the reasons it was widely reported that Derek Lively was really unsure if he loved Duke. He wanted to come back for another year, but he also knew that maybe his mom, you know, she'd been battling cancer. She battled cancer for 11 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, time, everything about time was incredibly precious to Derek and Kathy because they knew that she might not have a lot of more time. And one of the reasons he chose to go to the NBA was for her to be able to see that. And he's been wildly successful in the NBA, one of the best rookies in the league this year. And he's going to have a very, very long career. And none of that matters to him right now because he's lost his superhero, as he put it. The person he was closest to than anyone else on this planet. There are no words. There's nothing we can say about something like that. It's terrible. It's tragic. You know, I want to give a big F you to cancer.
Double that.
Yeah, there's nothing else beyond that, that can or should be said other than, as you mentioned, our thoughts, our prayers are with Derek Lively and his family and everyone who's mourning the loss of Kathy Drysdale.
He thanked a lot of people, from where he grew up to the people at Duke. And I remember even Duke was one of the things he considered in his college decision was the fact that Duke's hospital is the best ever, right? Like it's one of the best hospitals on the planet. Yeah. He mentioned that was something where she would be able to see his games while also getting the treatment that she needed. And then UT Southwestern, which is a fantastic hospital in Dallas that she was at while he was with the Mavericks. But she got to see him live out his dream and also got to see him become, I mean, people in Dallas consider him the third person in that big three for the Mavericks with Kyrie Irving and Luka Doncic. Like that has how good he has performed for a lot of the season and how much they value him. So I know they're going to take care of him during this time, but man, I again, our thoughts are with Derek Lively, with his family and really just everyone surround him with love because that's absolutely what he needs at this time.
Yes, absolutely. All right, man, we're going to wrap it up here, right?
Yeah, it's time to wrap it up. We have, again, we'll be back early this week because Caleb Foster has something to say. I'm going to let him say it, and then we'll react to what he says, and we'll be happy about it. But until then, for Jason Evans, I am Donald Wine. This has been episode number 622 of the Duke Basketball Roundup. Again, anyone who's out on campus, holler at me at the class party tonight on Central Campus. But until next time, this is now the Duke Band to play us out and take us home.